Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience. It just never ends with this guy. And offering all that to you this morning, if you'd like to join us, 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, or go online, morethanmoneyonline.com, and we're happy to handle any of those inquiries and give you as much information as we possibly can. A couple things that you need to know. Number one, Tuesday the 16th, we're hosting our Social Security workshop. Mark Basak, our Social Security advisor, will be there. Interestingly enough, Mark Belsack, our financial advisor. Yeah, there's no confusion there, huh? What are the odds? Mark Belsack will be hosting. Mark Basak will be speaking. Oh, my goodness. Get your Social Security questions asked and answered. We have a 4 o'clock show, 6 o'clock show, 1 hour in and out. So you can come to the 4 o'clock and grab dinner afterwards. Take your little tiny bottle of water with you. And you can grab dinner and then come to the 6 o'clock, and you'll be out by 7 as well. Get lots of good information there. So that's number one. Number two, happy Mother's Day, of course, to all the moms in our audience. And there's tons of them, and we appreciate each and every one. And I was kind of teasing a little bit in the first hour. One of our very dear friends and a loyal member of the More Than Money family, who owns a farm and animals, was in conversation with me this week, and he explained that he listens every week because he's out in the barn shoveling manure. So it's somehow totally appropriate. God bless. So lots going on. In the first hour, if you missed it, Monday at noon, it'll be on the website podcast. Tom from Phillipsburg was able to correctly identify what a fool believes by the Doobie Brothers. And he'll be getting a copy of a cool new book, The Sisters of Blue Mountain by Karen Katcher. Karen, in the interest of full disclosure, is a good friend, part of the More Than Money family, a wonderful writer. It's her second book. Her first book was spooky scary. This book, spooky scary. If you like spooky scary, if you like suspense, if you like that kind of stuff, you're going to love this book. We're sending Tom a copy of that. And if you were sadly not the lucky winner today, we're going to have a couple more opportunities over the next couple of weeks to give away Karen's books. But also, this Thursday, she'll be doing a book signing Thursday evening down at Moravian Bookshop. Head on down there. You get to meet Karen in person. That's worth your time right there. She's a lovely lady. You'll enjoy that time with her. Grab a book, get it autographed, and have a wonderful time. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Susan writes, my husband and I are both 65. We have about $700,000 worth of financial advisor who has us in balanced investments. Okay. Last year, we gained more than 7%. Good. I'm very happy. But my husband says his buddies at work said he should have made 15%. So he's very unhappy with the financial advisor, with our financial advisor. Who's right? Well, this one's easy. Goodness. If you've listened to More Than Money for any length of time at all, you already know the answer to who's right. She's always right. So that was easy. In this case, it's a little more complicated than who's right. Because investment returns need to be understood, evaluated, compared apples to apples, not apples to kumquats. No, I have no idea what a kumquat is. It was the funniest name fruit I could think of. In this case, a young lady is very, very happy with 7%. Now, why would that be? Well, it's because her expectations, her personal financial objectives say, I want to be conservative. And in her mind, appropriately so, there are conservative investments or conservative assets, bank accounts, money markets, CDs, some bonds, some annuities that are paying way, 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 way less than 7%. So she's comparing that to very conservative investments with which she's familiar, and she comes to the conclusion 7% is great. Her husband, on the other hand, is comparing it to what investment returns were for a 31-year-old millennial at work. Unfair comparison, to be sure, because again, we're talking apples to kumquats. If his buddies at work actually got 15% return, that meant they were taking serious risk. Plus 15 means you could absolutely see minus 20. It's just that simple. It's the nature of the beast. To get plus 15 last year, the broad market was up between 8 and 9, 8.5, 8.6, 7, depending on which index and which mix that you put together. So between 8 and 9. If his buddies... No, idiots. If his buddies said we made 15, then they took an extraordinary amount of risk, double the risk of the stock market. So if next year the stock market drops, gosh, in 08 it went down 37%. Some of you still remember the pain that you felt in 08. So if these guys are taking double the risk, goes down 37%, they're down 74%. Of course, they're investing. Their nest egg is up to 10 grand. You folks have 700,000. So they go down 74%. They're down to 2,600 bucks, and they're really sad for like a day. Because they're 31. They're not smart enough to know that they should be sad a lot. Just not smart. If you go down 74%, if you bow to your husband's silliness and invest in a similar fashion to his 31-year-old buddies at work, and we have a repeat of 2008, 74% for you is something in excess of $500,000. That hurts just to say out loud. You could be pounded with a loss of $500,000. Now, you're in a balanced approach. My interpretation of balanced approach, I don't know exactly what your financial advisor's interpretation is, but my interpretation is roughly half my money's in the stock market, half my money's in bonds and cash. That's my interpretation. If that is true, is it still possible that you will suffer a loss? Sure. Is it possible that the loss could be painful? Sure. Is it possible the loss would be 74%? Highly unlikely. As a matter of fact, using very simple math comparisons, absolutely no guarantees, of course, subject to about 100 different variations that could possibly happen. But if they're taking double the risk of the stock market and the market goes down, make the math easy for Gene. It goes down 30%. They're down 60. If you're taking half the risk of the stock market and it goes down 30%, you're down 15. 15, what's the right word? What's the right technical word? I know I've studied. Oh, yeah, that sucks. Jeez. Minus 15. It sucks. On your portfolio, you'd be down about 100 grand. That's a lot of money. And in the absence of anything else that might have helped, that's dreadful. But it ain't 400 grand. Apples to kumquats. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. This might actually set a record for one of the longest emails we've ever had. Actually, that's not true. It's the email and the answer that's the longest. And now that I look at what I wrote in response, I guess it was mostly me. So my apologies to the folks that sent this to me. Gentleman writes, my wife and I are about a year away from retirement. We've saved quite a bit in our two 401ks. We have two Roth IRAs and we have a few stocks. We went online to check some retirement calculators. Lots of them out there and some very, very good ones. So that makes a lot of sense, technology. They all say that we're in good shape if we invest about half of our money in stocks and half of our money in bonds. Now, let me stop there for a second. The retirement calculators are only as good as the information you give them. That makes sense. If you're into computers at all, you know what's the old GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in it, you're not hey, they say we're great. Well, we made up most of our input. Okay, that's not going to help you. So the better information you put into the calculators, the better information you're going to get out. Investing half of your money in the stock market and half of your money in bonds and cash is a pretty reasonable starting point for a retirement discussion. It is not a good general recommendation. To be fair, I'm not sure that there is a good general recommendation. When we meet with clients in the MTM World Headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, we often find that folks should be 50-50. We often find that folks should be 70-30, 70% in the stock market. We often find that they should be 0-100, nothing in the stock market. So using 50-50 as a starting point, I absolutely get it. I absolutely understand why, especially if they don't tell me their ages, but especially if you are relatively young. If you're in your 60s, And you have nothing in the stock market, then your money is basically you've decided not to have it grow. And in general, that's not a great idea, except if you don't need it to. Because the whole idea in retirement is to take as much risk as you need to and not a penny more. There's no glory in taking risk that you don't have to. Back to the email. I just read an article about people who retired at the wrong or unlucky times, just before the stock market dropped big time. They lost a bunch of their portfolio, a bunch of their savings, and never recovered, and then ran out of money in retirement. All right. Again, I'm stepping away from the email to give you some context. Let's say that you were the former email that we just discussed, that you had $700,000, you went to the retirement calculators, they said you're fine, you're great, you're going to do fine, put it 50-50. You go into the stock market, and it was January 1st of 2008. And you're planning on taking out $25,000 a year. You take that out, it takes it down to $675,000, and the stock market rips out $150,000 more. And now, instead of ending the first year of your retirement with what on average should have been a little more than $700,000, you're sitting at about $500,000. And now taking out $25,000 a year can be very challenging and may very well end up with you running out of money. So this gentleman reading the article, is that a risk? It is a serious risk. In the professional world of financial advisory, this is referred to as the risk of sequence returns. Sometimes returns of sequence risk can be said either way. It's kind of a fancy way of saying, how lucky are you? If the stock market goes up on average, I'm picking a number out of thin air, 6%. If that's the average, it will almost never go up 6%. It will go up 4.9. It will go up 8.1. It will go down 3.7. It will go up 11.6. It will go down 7.10. All right, you get the idea. It's all over the lot. So again, the sequence of those returns, if you start your retirement with a couple of years where it's up nicely, that really helps. And if the sequence of returns that you get happens to start with negative, negative, ouch. So this gentleman goes on in his email to say, the article basically concluded with, be careful. That's it? Question mark. If we don't know if it's going to drop, how can we be careful? by the way, I got a copy of the article, and that's exactly what it says. So in light of all these things, you've got to be careful.
Really?
Really. Working with a chainsaw can be deadly. Be careful. Like, how can I be careful? What steps could I take that would make things safer? I've got several for you. I have several for you. One approach to making sure that the first few years of your retirement don't really harm your long-term retirement, is to separate your investments in pieces, in blocks. The fancy term is tranche, T-R-A-N-C-H-E, tranche. And you break it into tranches of, say, 5-year increments. So I'm picking a number and say you're retiring at age 65. So you would have a block of money that you intend to use between 65 and 70. And at the end of 70, it's gone. It's used up. And then another block, 70 to 75, 75 to 80, 85 to, you get the idea. And then you would invest these different blocks very differently. So maybe the first block, this, let's see, 65 to 70, 75 to 75 to 80 to 85 to 90 to 95 to 100. So let's say that you've got 7 blocks or 8 blocks. You split up your investments into 7 or 8 pieces. And this very first piece, none of it's in the stock market. None of it. 100% of it's in very safe, very secure investments. Might be cash. Wouldn't be my first choice. Earning 0.0. Might be a 5-year annuity. 5-year annuities. They may pay, they're not going to pay a ton, but maybe they're going to pay 2%, 2.5%, 3%. Might be a 5-year CD. That doesn't usually work very well because you want the income. Might be a collection of bonds. That might work. But whatever it is, it's not in the stock market. So you retire, you've got this tranche, this block, this piece of your money that you're set up for the first 5 years of retirement. And 2 years in, the stock market drops 30%. Now, is that going to affect the other pieces of your investment? Absolutely. But use 2008 as a good example. 2008, the market dropped like a rock. Exactly. What happened the following year? Went up nicely. Now, did it break even? No, it took 2 more years for it to break even. It took 2 years, not 2 more, 2 years. So 2008 minus 2009, 2010 plus basically broke even. So yes, dreadful, really bad, like 2008. Is it going to affect the account values for the pieces of your puzzle that you have in blocks 2, 3, 4, 5? Yes. But for the first 5 years, what does that dramatic drop in the stock market due to your income? Nada. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nil. That's just one idea. Second idea. Determine in your budgeting what income you absolutely have to have come hell or high water. And let's just say, again, we go back to this former example. They have $700,000. Let's just say that they add up their Social Security, they add up their pension, and they're short $1,000 a month of what they have to have come hell or high water to pay their bills. They can carve out of that $700 an amount required to put into a guaranteed annuity, for example, or some other form, but annuities work very well, that will guarantee them $1,000 a month. Now, that might require, gosh, it might require a couple hundred thousand bucks, $300,000, I don't know. But they carve that out now for the rest of their lives. No questions. Stock market's up, stock market's down, they get their money. And now whatever's left, they can invest however they wish. How much time do we have? Three. I think we can do it. A third idea. If it fits your situation, get a reverse mortgage. So you can invest in your balanced approach, a typical approach, one that over time should give you a very good return. But if in a very down market, you're looking at, gosh, I don't want to take any money out because the market's down, you can take money from your reverse mortgage. Let's say you wanted $25,000, but the market dipped. Well, you take $25,000 from your reverse mortgage so that you don't have to take anything from your investments. The next year, it goes up nicely. It goes up actually more than you need. So you take out your need, and whatever extra there is, you throw that down on the reverse mortgage. So instead of owing $25,000, maybe now you owe $10,000 or $12,000. And you keep that pattern going in the down years of the market when your investments are underwater. You take it out of the reverse mortgage. In the up years of the market, when the investments are doing better than expected, you take a little bit of the excess and pay down your reverse mortgage. So you've always got that shock absorber. And finally, just real quick, variable annuities are very interesting products that can give you access to investing the way you wish, 50-50, nice balanced investments. But they can also, if you choose, provide you with a guaranteed lifetime income. So you can get the income that you need with no fear and have the investment approach that you want all the while being protected. And that was just off the top of my head. My head, I'm telling you. 780 years. This is not my first rodeo. Rodeo. Sorry. Happy Mother's Day indeed. Voice of an Angels. I don't know if Natalie Merchant's a mom. I don't know. But you know what? Happy Mother's Day to Natalie Merchant because she's got a beautiful voice. We have a half hour left. 610-720-7900. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We're going to take your questions after this on More Than Money. I'm giving for your kindness. I'm dead to you, and I never could have come this far without you. They say I must be one of the wonders, God's own creation, and as far as we see, they can offer. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. Happy to be with you this Saturday morning. It's a little drizzly out there. It's a little rainy out there. It's a little gray. Heck, I'm happy just to be inside. This is goodness gracious. Very interesting question. Connie writes, thanks for the program today, covering fundamentals. Excellent. Not always able to listen, but sitting at my computer, paying bills. Sorry. Actually, isn't it great that you're able to pay bills? How about the folks who are sitting there going, sitting here staring at the bills that I cannot pay? That's a tougher one. Thank you very much. Is the Social Security seminar only for those going on Social Security or those of us who have been there for a while? If you've been there for a while, meaning more than a year, your Social Security election is etched in stone. Social Security used to be something that you could change your mind. You could be on it for a couple of years and say, you know what, I think I'd rather go back. You could pay the money back and start over. Clean slate. Social Security apparently got tired of actually serving their clients. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
They changed their policy just a bit. We don't want to actually help people. So they changed the policy to say you have a year. So if you decided to take Social Security this month and in the fall you get a brand new job and you're going, hey, or your situation just changes, you're eligible to change your plan. But if you've been more than a year, you are certainly more than welcome to join us. You're certainly more than welcome to help yourself to little tiny bottles of water. But I think the value might be a bit less than we would hope for your particular set of circumstances. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. But thank you for reminding me, because I should let folks that are just joining us know that on Tuesday, the 16th, we'll have our Social Security workshop. You'll be meeting with Mark Basak, our Social Security advisor. Mark worked in that system for 39 years and headed up Lehigh Valley offices for a large chunk of that. And is the most knowledgeable person about Social Security and Medicare that I know, period, the end. So it's your opportunity at no charge. No, there's no cost. There's no cost involved. There's also no free dinners, but there's no cost involved for you to join us and get tremendous amounts of good information. And I hope you will. I hope you'll join us. If you'd like to join us, a couple ways that you can let us know. You can send me an email, and I'll send that on to Joe. Just send me gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. And since we're getting kind of late in the show, if you want to call and leave a voicemail in the MTM World Headquarters, 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. Thanks for some of the nice emails about softball. We had a good night last night. Gene had a good night last night. Team did not have a good night last night. We're still trying to find, our chemistry. We got some great players, but we got a lot of new players, and we're kind of struggling. Gene, 6 for 8 last night. 6 for 8. Can still hit. And had a play at third base. Guy slid in hard. And fortunately, really nice. Young guy, very good athlete, very good guy. Hard slide. The idea is take the third baseman out, which he did almost, but not quite. You're out of there. So a lot of fun. But I am a little sore today. Took a little bit of that. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Gentleman writes, my wife is retiring in December. She has a pension plan that gives her lots of options to take more or less, and for me to have more or less when she dies. For those of you that are not part of a pension plan, my apologies. This obviously doesn't apply to you, but you should be aware just in this context that it is very common when a person is considering retirement, for the pension plan to give them basically a menu. And it gives them multiple options. We have seen pension plans that have as many as 12 different options. And to be fair, once you've elected your choice, irrevocable. So there's a lot of pressure to get the choice correct. And there's a lot of confusion about what each choice actually means. So more for her would be if she were to elect a pension that pays her for her lifetime only. Her lifetime only. That would be the highest pension amount that she could receive. Sadly, that also means that if she collects her pension for 1 month and the good Lord decides her time on this earth is done, despite the fact that that's the highest amount she could receive, as a family, they will get one check and then it ends. And a pension that could conceivably pay out millions of dollars will have paid out a couple thousand, three or four thousand, 5,000. So quite a risk. Most people don't take that risk. Most. I'll explain to you the exception here in a moment. But she could elect to take a lower monthly payment in exchange for that at her passing. Her husband would receive some piece of that lower monthly payment. Could be 100%, could be 75%, could be 50%. Lots of different options. So the gentleman goes on to write, I figure I will go before she does. It is often the case, greater than 50%, certainly, that husbands pass before their wives. But greater than 50% doesn't mean a thing if you're not part of the greater than 50%. But I hear where you're coming from. I figure I will go before she does. Doesn't it make sense for her to take the highest amount for her life that would pay me nothing if she retires? And the answer is maybe. But only if you take significant pains to thoughtfully protect yourself. If she elects to take that larger amount, I would encourage you and her to use a piece, some piece of that larger retirement payment, and acquire a life insurance policy on her, so that if indeed, sadly, you predecease her, you go first. She has the maximum benefit for herself and the cash value in a life insurance contract that she then could do whatever she wishes with. She could set it up so it goes to the children or grandchildren. She could set it up so it goes to a charity, or she could cash it in and take the cash. So she got the maximum pension and she got cash. Not a terrible result. If, on the other hand, God has plans different than what you project and she passes away, you will receive a block of money. How much? It's totally dependent on the amount of the available cash that you wish to commit for a premium. It's absolutely dependent on her age and her health, her ability to qualify for life insurance, and whether she qualifies it. What is typically known as standard rates, or whether she's got some concerns that might cause the premiums to be higher, or whether her health is excellent and maybe her premiums are actually much lower. Wouldn't that be lovely? So no question that it's a challenge. No question that it requires some exploration. I will tell you that we are very lucky. Excuse me. Very, very lucky. In our More Than Money work with our clients, that we have an insurance partner in Mike Pompey of Ash Brokerage. Mike works side by side with us. He has tremendous skill, and Ash Brokerage provides him with access to literally dozens and dozens and dozens of insurance companies. So when we make a request similar to this of hey, here's kind of the situation with this client. Here's age and health evaluations, and here's some dollar amounts. He can obtain proposals from as many insurance companies as you might wish. Typically, we'll have Mike pick the top two or three that he recommends. And now you've got choices. So you've got to explore that. You've got to look at that very carefully. And if you're retiring and you have a pension plan, please let us know. There's no cost to evaluate these questions for you. There's no cost to meet with Mike and evaluate what insurance options you have. It's very wise, very, very wise. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Again, remember earlier in the show, I kind of put three or four questions together that had a common theme. Here's another set. Gentleman writes, I'm getting a weird vibe about this market.
Ooh.
Another one writes, I've been hearing nothing but bad things about the stock market.
Ooh.
This is the longest bull market ever. It's certainly going to go down.
Ooh.
Ooh. I was supposed to be creepy. That didn't even sound scary to me. Sorry. Fill in the blanks. Gold, silver, pork bellies. God bless those pigs. God bless them. They're always are getting ready to take off. And anything else that you can think of. Bitcoins, the Chinese, fill in the blanks. It's all intended to create fear. And in some cases, apparently it's working. People are often reporting to me, hey, I'm a little concerned. I've been hearing a lot of bad news. I want you to be, the next time you hear bad news, the next time you hear kind of a bad prognostication, that's a cool word. I wish I knew what it meant. The next time you hear someone predicting doom and gloom, pay close attention to who's predicting it. Pay close attention to, geez, I'm hearing bad. Wait a second. I think you're going to find that anywhere from 80 to 95% of the doom and gloom that you're hearing, it's from commercials. Because as you might expect in the More Than Money World headquarters, we have the investment news stream feed into our office all day long. So I get to see and hear a great deal of what you're seeing and hearing. And if I hear any of these things, nothing bad, the market's going down, longest bull market ever, certainly getting tired. If I look up, it's a commercial. And they're all trying to sell something. It might be gold and silver. It might be annuities. It might be newsletters. That's very popular. There's no limit to the number of things they could be trying to sell. But what they're really selling is fear. They want you to be afraid, and they want you to think that whatever they're selling you is going to be the antidote. A very wise man once said, I have worried about a great many terrible, terrible things in my life, most of which never happened. I think we all fall into that category. We worry about a lot of things, and a great many of them don't happen. Advertising is not information. It's not. And assume for a second that it were information. Information is not power. People go, well, knowledge is power. That's a big steaming pile of hoo-ha. Right now, that's what Nick is up there shoveling. Big steaming pile of hoo-ha. That's what it is. If knowledge were power, every American would be a multimillionaire because they all have access to the internet. The internet has basically every bit of information that's been collected for, 10,000 years of recorded history. The whole Loch Ness Monster thing, I knew it was true. All right, some of the stuff on the internet's not exactly true. Well, most of what you're hearing on the advertisements is not exactly true. In many cases, it's not true at all. But knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. Knowing what pieces of information are useful, knowing how to use them, that's power. Emotion, which is what these folks are trading on, is the absolute enemy of financial success. making choices, making decisions out of emotion is the absolute enemy of financial success. If you think that your weird vibe, your gut reaction, your intuition is the basis for a really solid way to go, I'm here to tell you it's not. The way you get financially successful is to have a sound strategy, one that fits you, not a cookie cutter, not something you read in a book, not something off of a commercial, please. Then you monitor that strategy. You stay on top of it. You evaluate it. And when it wobbles off course a little bit, you correct it. Wobbles off course a little bit, you correct it. You make the adjustments. That kind of a process of creating a sound strategy, monitoring and adjusting, beats the living bejeebies. Another technical term. I teach it in the MBA's program. Beats the living bejeebies out of a fearmonger, out of a tactic, out of you've got to run and hide, out of the sky is falling. All right, I got a little torqued up on that, I guess. Thank you, sir. We've got a special treat, I think, for you. I know it will be for me at the end of the show. So I'm going to wrap here just a little bit early. We got Natalie Merchant. We'll take us out of the show. But then we got a special piece of music that's a very, very special, has a special place in my heart, always reminds me of my mom, always reminds me of going home to see my mom. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. Prior to that, I want to offer you, as we always do, the opportunity to get as much information to help you as we can possibly offer. We offer second opinion meetings, whether it be with one of our financial advisors. You heard wonderful kind words about Mark Belsack earlier in the show. Whether it's Mark or Bill or Daryl, Gene, one of our advisors, whether it's Mike Pompei, our insurance advisor, Mark Basak, our Social Security advisor, Rob Pinnell, our estate planning advisor, you're welcome to come join us. Get great information and improve your financial the prospects for your financial future. All you have to do is ask. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Go online and request it there, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, or call us, 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for being part of this edition of More Than Money. Please stick with us after Natalie for, again, one of my favorites of all time, Mr. Kenny Loggins, and Celebrate Me Home. Hopefully that means something to you as well. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.
Come on, daddy.